Well, I believe what I have to bring before the congregation is something that even our young boys in the congregation need to hear and need to seek to apply to their lives in regard to being future husbands. This is Mother's Day. How many mothers do we have in the room this morning? Well, you guys can stand. Feel free to stand. Don't just raise your hand. All the mothers, stand up. All right. All right. Thank you. You may be seated. We do appreciate you. And rather than bring a message to the mothers this morning, I have decided to bring, and I've done this before, to bring a message to the husbands, to the men in the room. Because I feel that if we are truly going to honor our mothers and honor our wives this morning, we need to, as men, know how we are to honor them in the way that we live with them, in the way that we seek to interact with them. I entitled this message this morning, How to Live Biblically with Our Wives. How to Live Biblically with Our Wives. And before women are mothers, at least according to the biblical pattern. Before women are mothers, they are wives. And if in marriage, the husband and the wife are seeking to live godly, seeking to glorify God in their interaction with one another, then normally the children will do as the scripture says. They will rise up and call their mother blessed, and they will reverence and respect their fathers. And so I want to bring a message to husbands this morning in regard to how they are to live with their wives, how they are to do that biblically. And so before we begin this, let's just go to Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we have a holy, infallible, and inspired word from heaven this morning. Father, we are thankful that you have not left us without instruction as to how we are to live, how we are to interact with our fellow man, and how we are to, in particular, interact with our spouses. And Father God, we pray that you will, by your grace, enable us to live in accordance with your word, in accordance with your will. And Lord, to understand that by submitting ourselves to your design for marriage, by submitting ourselves for your call for us as husbands to our wives, Lord, that we will indeed have blessed and happy homes, and you will indeed be glorified. And Lord, may those around us see something of your love for the church in our marriages, and something of your love for sinners in our marriages. And Lord, may they be drawn to you by them. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a pastor, I approach the matter of marriage from the perspective that first and foremost, we are Christians. First and foremost, we are Christians. I am speaking to Christians this morning, Christian wives, Christian husbands. But before we are ever husband and before we are ever wives, we are first and foremost children of God. And as such, by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, we are followers of Jesus Christ. We are disciples of Christ. And that is our preeminent relationship. That is to say that our relationship to our wife or our relationship to our husband flows out of our new life in Christ Jesus. That is exactly what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 5. If we are disciples of Christ, then we bear a relationship to other disciples of Christ. And we are to view our spouses as fellow disciples. And as our fellow disciple, we are to love them and we are to serve them and we are to submit to them in the fear of God, clothing ourselves in humility. And this morning, I just want us to look for a moment at God's instruction, biblical instruction for how husbands are to live with their wives, how Christian husbands or male disciples are to live with their wives. And as you look at the primary passages in Scripture that give instruction to husband, you find that there are three things asked of us in regard to how we are to live with our wives or relate to our wives. And if we are living in obedience to these three things, then our marriages will be happy marriages and our marriages will glorify God. And the first is this. We learn from Scripture that Christian husbands are to love their wives. Christian husbands are to love their wives. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 outlines this very well, gives very great detail to husbands in regard to how they are to live with their wives, how they are to view their wives, how they are to love their wives. As a matter of fact, there's a lot said in Ephesians chapter 5 about how husbands are to love their wives. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 says this, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Husbands are to love their wives. Let me remind you that that is the primary duty of husbands to their wives. We need to understand here that what God is telling us to do is not optional. It's not optional. It is indeed our duty. It is our responsibility. It is the primary duty and responsibility. It is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus to love our wives. Men, we don't have to wonder what God wants us to do in regard to our wives. We don't have to guess about what God wants us to do in regard to our wives. We don't have to wonder what is to be predominate our relationship with our wives. God has told us, and he's told us very clearly, very plainly, what our duty is. The God who made us, the God who redeemed us, the God before whom we will all have to stand and give an account, has told us how we are to feel and how we are to think and how we are to interact and how we are to speak with our wives. What does it mean that we are to love our wives? What does that mean practically? In day-to-day life, what is God calling upon us to do? Well, I think it's evident in the text what he's calling us to do. First of all, we are to love our wives constantly. Our love for our wife is to be constant. Love is to be the constant disposition of a husband toward his wife. Constant. The language of the text tells us that it's not something that runs hot or cold. It's not something that we are to do sometimes, but it is something that we are to be doing at all times and in all circumstances. It is to be a constant. There is never to be a time when we say to ourselves, well, all right, for this day, for this week, for this month, I am free of God's command to love my wife. We can't do that. We are to love her always. We are to love her regardless of her attitude. We are to love her regardless of her particular actions. We are to love her always. The husband is to do his God-given duty of loving his wife regardless of what she's doing. Regardless. Regardless of her attitude, regardless of how she's behaving on certain days, he is to love her always. So our love is to be a constant love. That is what the Bible is telling us. The Bible tells us that Jesus unconditionally and constantly loves his people. That nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. It is a constant love that Christ has for us. And our love for our wives is to be constant. That is to be our constant disposition toward our wives. Secondly, our love for our wife is to be unconditional. It is to be unconditional. We are to love our wives. We are to love the wife that God has given to us. We are to love her as she currently is. Not some fantasy that we have of her. We are to love her as she currently is, not what we think we want her to be or what she may one day be, but we are to love her as she is, and we are to love her unconditionally. We are to love her no matter what her disposition is or on a particular day, no matter how the days of the month may affect her, we are to love her. We are to love her no matter what her body ends up looking like. We are to love her no matter, no matter if she's kind or sweet, or if for a time she shows us a bit of a nasty side. We are to love her. We are to love her when she is well and vigorous, and we are to love her when she is weak and helpless. We are to love her if the house is clean or if the house is messy. We are to love her if our clothes are pressed or if they're wrinkled. We are to love her always. Our heart attitude of love is never to change. It's to be unconditional. A man never has to wonder on a particular day or if circumstances change, Lord, how do you want me to feel about my wife today? We never have to wonder that. The answer of God is you are to love her unconditionally. Unconditionally. No matter how you find her, no matter what she's doing, no matter how she feels, no matter how she's treating you, you are to love her. Our love is also to be specific. We are to love our wife. Our wives. Our own wife. It's not generically that Christian men are to love other Christian women, is that we are to love our wife, the wife that God has given us. We are to have eyes only for our wives. We are not to be men who are looking at other women or to be men who are talking about how pretty other women are. We need to be careful on social media and Facebook and those things about friending other women. We need to be careful about building close relationships with other women. We are to have eyes only for our wives. Our wives should never have reason to be jealous. They should never have reason to be jealous of us. We should be careful. We should have the Billy Graham policy. I don't even go into an elevator alone with just another woman. I don't ride in a car by myself with another woman beside my wife. I don't go visit a woman at home when she's by herself without her husband. I am careful about what I do. I like to go to the gym and to be at the gym, but I go to the gym specifically when I know that there's not going to be women there. When there's not going to be a lot of women there. Generally when I'm in the gym, it's only men. But I know the times that they're there. I know when they have the group classes and all those other things, and I don't go to the gym during those times. We are to love our wives specifically. We are to love her no matter what. We are to be like Jesus, who loved us even while we were yet sinners. Even while we were yet in a state of enmity toward God, Christ sacrificed himself for us. And he sacrificed himself for us not when we were idea, but when we were everything, and not when we were everything that he wanted us to be, not when we were pure, but rather when we were impure. And Christ has eyes only for us. Christ cares for us. We are the apple of his eye. Our wives are to be the apple of our eye. We are to love her and only her. Our love is to be specific. Secondly, we are to prefer and desire her above others. When it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, that's what it's saying, that we are to desire her and prefer her above others. When Christian men love their wives as Christ loved the church, it means that they want her, they desire her, they prefer her company above others. We read of Jacob's love for Rachel in Genesis chapter 29 and verse 20. It says, so Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love that he had for her. The love that Jacob had for Rachel was a love that was a strong attraction and had a strong attachment. It was a desire to be emotionally intimate with her as well as physically intimate with her. That is something of what love means. We are to prefer our wives, prefer the company of our wives above anybody else. Another aspect of love, and perhaps the aspect of love that dominates all other aspects of love in Ephesians chapter 5, is we are to love our wives sacrificially. We are to love our wives sacrificially. In verse 25, it says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then in verse 29, or in verse 28, it says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Love, this is the kind of love that desires the highest good of another. The highest good of another. It's a love that is concerned with giving and not with getting. It's the kind of love that is not arrogant, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a love that's not self-serving. It's a love that puts the interest of your wife above yourself. It's a love that focuses on that which is best in another person. It's a love that believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. It's a love that refuses to find fault. It refuses to find fault. A love that does not fixate upon past sins or past offenses. It's an amazing thing to hear couples speaking to each other in a counseling situation. I've had this on a couple of occasions, but to hear them bringing up what the other one did weeks ago, months ago, maybe even years ago, offenses. Sins. You know, you say to the wife or to the husband, you know, what concerns you about your spouse? And you almost expect them to say, well, do you want it alphabetically, or do you want it chronologically, or do you want it from least to greatest? They just give you a litany of issues. I remember having a counseling session with this one couple, and that's all they wanted to do. Every single counseling session. And I said, look, are you wanting to get to the bottom of the issue, or are you just wanting to blame each other every time we meet? Because if that's the case, you're wasting my time, and I really don't want to have any more of my time wasted. You need to go and see what if you really want this thing to work out. Men, if all you can think about and all you can bring up is what your wife did to offend you, days ago, months ago, weeks ago, then the question needs to be asked of you, when did you stop loving your wife? When did you stop loving your wife? Because the Bible tells me that love keeps no records of wrongdoing. Love keeps no records of sin. If all you want to do is bring up what your wife has done in the past, all those offenses, then that's not what the Bible says love is. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them or bitter against them. Paul's letting us know that the love that a husband is to have for his wife is not going to be overcome by either her weakness or by her faults. It's not going to be overcome by those things. He is not to allow her sins, her temperament, or even her distinct femininity to be a source of provocation and anger and pouting and railing and complaining and bitterness. He is to love her sacrificially. Men, you know what the goal ought to be? Our goal ought to be that our wives know something of the love of Jesus for his church by how we act in the home toward them. Our wives ought to know something of the love that Christ has for his church by watching us in our home. Our goal ought to be that our children and unbelievers will see something about the glorious love of Jesus Christ by looking through our windows, by looking at our house, at our home, by watching what takes place in our home. They should know something by looking at how we treat our wives and how wives treat their husbands. They should know something about the glorious love of Jesus Christ for his bride as they look at our homes. And the question needs to be asked, is Christ's love selfish? Is Christ's love dismissive? Is Christ's love cruel and sarcastic? Is it emotionally distant? It shouldn't be. But some wives would say, well, I guess so, because that's how my husband loves me. And some children will say, well, I guess that's the way God is, because that's the way dad so-called loves mom. Man, I hope all of us would cringe at the thought of being labeled a heretic. Sometimes men preach heresy in the home. They preach heresy in the home. Men, people should be able to see what the love of Christ is like by looking at our home and how we treat our wives. Someone who's never picked up a Bible, someone who's never picked up the Bible should be able to look at her home and say, all right, if you're loving your wife the way Christ loves the church, then the love of Jesus must be like this and this and this. That's what they should be able to say. They ought to be able to say that obviously the love of Christ, as I watch how you interact with your wife, the love of Christ for his church is kind and attentive and sacrificial and patient and interactive. That's what they should be able to say. And far too many men who claim to know God in Christ treat their wives as though Christ would leave the church to fend for itself. As though Jesus does nothing more than bark orders at the church. As if Jesus does nothing more than express irritation at his church. As though the church only hears from Jesus when he's disappointed and being critical. May it not be that way with us. Let us love our wives as Christ loved the church. So our love is to be constant. It's to be unconditional. It is to be specific. It is to be sacrificial. That's the kind of love that Christ has for his church. Secondly, Christian husbands are to honor their wives. I would ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says this, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. We are to honor our wives. The word there means to place value on something. To place value on something. It means to understand the worth of a thing. There are some men who don't understand the worth of their wives. They put the wrong price tag on her, if you will. They correspond the wrong value to her. The Word of God tells us that we are to honor her. The Word of God says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Let me ask you something. Does your wife know that? Does she know that? Does she know that you assign to her the worth and the value of a good gift from God? Proverbs 19 and verse 14 says, houses and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. A prudent wife is from the Lord. Men, if you have a Christian wife, you have a blessing. You have a gift from God. And what price tag do you put on her? Would you put a dollar price tag on a diamond? Would you do that? Would you put a price tag on her that makes it look like she means nothing to you? That you don't value her? Is she depreciating in value in your eyes? This is the way marriage is often treated. When that model gets old and worn out or doesn't look like it used to, you trade it in for a new one. That's the way things go today. That's wrong. Have you grown weary of what you call her demands upon you? Have you grown weary of her tears, of her frailty, of her looking to you for strength? Men, if that's the case, then you're thinking so wrongly. You're thinking so unbiblically. That is not viewing her as a precious gift from God. You think about all your sins. You think about how many times you've offended her. You think about all that she's put up with you. And I know me, I'm a hard guy to live with. Think about all she's put up with you, and all the many times that she's forgiven you and all the many times that she's encouraged you despite yourself, all the hundreds of meals that she's cooked for you, how she keeps the home in order, the great job that she's done with her children. When you think about all of those things, you ought to esteem her highly and you ought to honor her. But most of all, you should honor her because she is a joint heir of the grace of eternal life. In some evangelical circles, and I'm all for preaching male headship in the home. I'm all about that. But in some evangelical circles, the idea of male headship in the home has been so exalted that the role of the woman in the home has been downplayed. There are men out there who think that their wives don't need a brain. Their wives don't need to have spiritual discernment. Their wives don't need to cultivate their own spirituality and cultivate their own souls because as long as they are federally connected to them, as long as they're in the home, then it doesn't matter what's going on in the wife's heart, in the wife's soul, in the wife's life. Their wives will be fine as long as they're taken care of. Men, that's not just baloney, that's heresy. That is heresy. She is a joint heir of the grace of eternal life. That means she gets from Christ an equal share with you. And we are to honor her as such. A Christian wife is an incredible thing. A Christian wife is an amazing thing. She is joined to Jesus Christ. My wife is precious to Jesus. Jesus Christ shed his blood for her. He gave his life for her. He gave his spirit to her. He adopted her. He set his love on her before the foundation of the world, and he entered into this world to win her. And at this very time, he prays for her. He loves her. She's precious to him. That's our Lord's estimation of our wives, and it should be our estimation of our wives. Just because God has given you the authority in the home, and just because, as Peter brings out, she is to reverence you, and she is to obey you, and she is to submit to you, and just because Sarah called Abraham Lord, Peter is saying, don't blow that out of proportion. Don't blow that out of proportion. Don't think that God has placed you on a higher spiritual plane than your Christian wife. He has not. He has not. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, bond, servant or free man. Don't think that God has placed you on a higher plane than your wife. She may not be the leader in the home, or the leader in the church, but she is a joint heir of the grace of eternal life. And if you honor her for no other reason, then honor her for that. Honor her for that. Thirdly, Christian men are to dwell with their wives knowledgeably. We are to dwell with our wives knowledgeably. Look at verse 7 again. Likewise, husbands, dwell or live with your wives in an understanding way. In an understanding way. Now, I used to say that I am thankful that God has not called me to understand my wife, but He's called me to live with her in an understanding way. Because women are hard to understand. Men are hard to understand to women. But I want you to notice it says that likewise husbands live, or some translations say dwell with your wives. Dwell. What does that word mean, to dwell with her? Well, it could be rendered, the translation could be rendered, continually dwell with. Continually dwell with her. It has the original meaning of to be at home with or to be in the home. It's a word that has a very simple yet profound meaning, and this is something that I've had to learn over the course of time. And God's still working on me. I don't have all of this together. God has been doing things in my life in the past couple of years to bring these things out in me and to drive me to His Word to see how I should be relating to my wife. But in a simple sense, it means that you are where your wife is. You are where your wife is. The Christian husband does not make it his habit to be out of the home unnecessarily. Now, this is countercultural. The kind of husband who makes it, the kind of husband who's a Christian husband makes it known that he wants to be at home. He's not the kind of guy that makes it known that he wants to be with his wife as little as possible. He's not the kind of husband that when he gets done with work on Friday, he desires to be with his buddies more than he does his wife, or any day of the week for that matter. If that's the case, you're not obeying 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. No, the Christian man, the Christian husband, by his desires and by his actions, proves that he wants to be where his wife is. He wants to be where his children are. And I'm not saying that we you know, it's wrong for husbands or for wives to cultivate friendships and to engage in some necessary social and physical activity. I'm not saying that at all. Like I said, I like to get to the gym at least 4 days a week, and I do that with my wife's blessing. I do it with her blessing. She knows that it's good for me. She encourages me to be there. And then she says, well, if we're going to pay for that membership, you better be there. But I do it with her blessing. But a Christian husband desires to be home. He desires to be home. A man who's not at home cannot perform his duties to his wife. A man who's not at home cannot perform his duties to his children. And what's he supposed to be doing at home? He's supposed to be washing his wife with the water of the Word. He's supposed to be seeking her spiritual growth and her emotional development and all of those things. He's supposed to be seeking her good. He can't bring his children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. He can't show his children love. If he's out of the home, all that will do is provoke his children to anger because he's neglected them for so long. This is notoriously prominent among pastors. A prominent sin among pastors. I went to Bible college with pastors. 95% of the campus was married couples and men going into the ministry. And I used to hear this saying that the preacher's kids are the worst kids. And in many cases, they were the worst kids on that campus. But you want to know the reason why? Because their fathers neglected them. They were trying to go to school. They were trying to pastor churches at the same time. So they'd get out of class and they'd go to their little cave. They'd go to their little office and they'd spend all their time in there and only come out to get a bite to eat or use the bathroom. Never interacted with their kids. They neglected their kids. And oftentimes men who have been in ministry for many years are too busy trying to build the church and add numbers and fill pews that they put all their energy and all their time into the ministry, and they neglect their family, they neglect their children. And I've always been under the impression that God didn't call me into the ministry to lose my family. No, a man who desires to lead his wife, a man who desires to love his wife and give instruction and discipline to his children, is a man who desires to dwell at home. But then the text says that we're to do this understandingly. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives or dwell with your wives in an understanding way. That is to say that the dwelling is not simply a physical dwelling with our wives, but it is also a spiritual dwelling with our wives. He's not simply at home. He's not simply at home. He's with his wife trying to understand his wife. He's with her trying to understand her. They're not strangers to one another in this home. To be at home with understanding is more than being a living, breathing presence in the home. It means you're interacting with your wife. You're trying to understand your wife. You're trying to learn your wife. There are men that are in the home, but they're not interacting in the way that God calls them to with their wives. The man who obeys the apostles' advice, this is what one writer said, the man who obeys the apostles' advice, amid the occupations of the day, pleases himself with the thought of enjoying his wife's company in the evening as the best refreshment after a long day. Is that how we think about our wives? The word understanding can mean having an accurate and learned apprehension of. Men, we need to know who she is. We need to know who she is. I want you to notice, too, that understanding your wife is linked to her being the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel. That's to say that husbands, if you're going to love your wife, if you're going to dwell with your wife, if you're going to understand your wife, you're going to need to understand her in terms of her being the weaker vessel. You need to understand that. You need to embrace that. You need to appreciate that. And what that means is that she's made up differently than you. And contrary to what's trying to be pushed in our culture today, women are not like men. Women are not like men. Men are not like women. And my friends, if God made you a woman, then he has created a beautiful thing. If he's made you a man, he's created a beautiful thing. God doesn't make junk and he doesn't make mistakes. You need to understand that she's a weaker vessel. You need to understand that her makeup physically and her makeup mentally and her makeup emotionally is not like yours. It is not like yours. And if you've lived with a wife for very long, if you've been married for very long, you understand this, I hope by now. But I hope you've embraced it. I hope that you appreciate it. I learned more and more to appreciate this about my wife. Bless God, we're not married to another man. From the beginning, it was one man and one woman in the bonds of marriage for life. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, but one man and one woman. God has made your wife different. He has formed her in comparison to the man in a weaker way. In a weaker way. Now, why is this important to know? Because husbands, and if we're all honest, this would be our admission. It is so easy for us to get bitter and irritated toward our wives because they have needs. They have needs. You know, how many times have you thought, man, why does she want me? Why does she want me to lead her? Why does she want me to talk to her? Why does she want me to listen to her? Why does she need my affirmation? Why does she need my courage? Why does she need my steadiness? Why does she need all of that? My guy friends don't need all of that from me, but why does she need all that? I can sit on a couch with Steve or Jacob and watch a ball game and not say a word to each other the whole time the ball game's on, and I don't have to worry about whether or not they still love me or if they're mad at me. I don't have to worry about that. But why does my wife need all that attention? Why does she need my affirmation? Why does she need me to listen? Why does she need me to talk? Why does she need security from me? Why does she need all that? Because God made her different. Gloriously different. God has made her weaker than you. And men, God calls us not to despise that, not to mock that, not to cut her off emotionally. No, a Christian husband understands her. He understands her in a way that draws her out. He's continually learning her. This is what that becoming one flesh thing is all about. Remember? And the two shall become one flesh. That's not just about intimacy. That's not just about a sexual union. That's not just about a consummation of a marriage. That's about a life of learning each other. Becoming one flesh. Knowing how she thinks, how she reacts, knowing what her needs are. Realizing that the dishes aren't just her responsibility. The clothes are not just her responsibility. The kids are not just her responsibility. No, we're becoming one flesh. I live in that house too. I make a mess too. Those clothes are mine too. I can wash them. I can do the dishes. I can do all of those things. Why? Because we are to become one flesh. One. Husbands, your wife has come forth from the hand of God with a different set of wiring than you. And if you don't grasp that, if you don't understand that, if you don't embrace that, if you don't appreciate that, then you're not loving her biblically. I'm not loving my wife biblically if I don't appreciate her femininity, how God has made her. We need to live knowledgeably with our wives. She needs to know that we delight in her. And as I said, you know, God is bringing these things out in me. He's really been taking me to the woodshed over these things past couple of years and all of that. And I mean, and that's part of growing in grace, I guess, being transformed from one degree of glory to the next. That's what the process of sanctification is like. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it happens by our submission to the Spirit's work in our lives. Sometimes God has to bring things into your life to mold you and to make you and to purge you to be the person that He desires you to be and the person that would be best for your wife and for your family. But we are to live with her knowledgeably. And as I said, that's not just a physical presence. That's not just physically, but that's spiritually. Let me ask you something, men. Are you concerned about your wife's spiritual development? Are you concerned about your wife's growth in grace, her walk with the Lord? I hope you understand that if that's healthy, she'll be healthy. If that's healthy, you're home will be healthy. If that's healthy, your home will be that place of peace that you desire it to be when you come home. It'll be that place of joy. It'll be that place of connection when you come home. But are you concerned about your wife's spiritual development? That should be your most important concern. If you're a Christian husband, that she be growing, that she be maturing. Notice this. It says that back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Let me ask you something. On the last day, is it your desire for your wife to stand before the Lord in splendor? without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, without any such thing? Is it your desire that the Lord be pleased with your wife's life on a daily basis? How are you facilitating that? How are you contributing to that? Are you yourself in the Word so you can wash your wife with the water of the Word? Remember the instruction of Timothy to wives or women in the church, particularly wives. They were to be in submission to their husbands, subservient to their husbands. They were to be silent in the public gathering. And if they had any questions, they were to go home and ask their husbands, which implies that a godly husband, a Christian husband, is a man who's in the Word, has a knowledge of the Word, has a knowledge of the will of God for himself and for mankind, and he is able to answer her questions. He's able to give her direction. I fear that so often in today's churches that the men are so biblically illiterate that they can't answer their wives' questions. And that's why their wives have to go to the pastor. Or that's why their wives have to go to the deacons. Or that's why their wife has to go to the elder. Because they don't have a knowledge of the Word of God themselves in order to lead and instruct and guide their wives. It's a shame. But even if I wasn't a pastor, I would have a desire to be in this book. I would still be thirsting for the words of this book. I would still wanting to be drinking at this fountain of wisdom, even if I wasn't a pastor. I get as great a pleasure out of sitting in a congregation listening to a good sermon as anyone else does. I listen to men throughout the week and seek instruction for them. I listen to a lot of dead guys. They're less ambiguous and quite clear. But they're my pastors. I stay in the Word. I listen to the Word of God expounded. And if my wife has questions for me, she knows she can come to me and ask those questions. And 9 times out of 10, I'll have an answer. But even if I don't, I'll say, look, I'll go search that out. I know it's in there. I'll search it out, and we'll come to that knowledge together. But that's our primary duty right there, is to be in the home, loving our wives, and seeking for their spiritual good. I should be challenging my wife to be a better Christian by how I live and my relationship with the Lord, and she should be doing the same for me. I tell this to young people dating, you know, don't missionary date. The Bible says that we're not to be unequally yoked, meaning that believers are to marry believers. Believers are not supposed to be marrying and courting unbelievers. We are to be marrying believers. And I tell young people, look, if you're a Christian, you should be, even if you marry another Christian, you should be marrying somebody who's going to challenge you to be a better Christian. You don't want to just marry a church girl. You don't want to just marry a church boy. You want to marry a Christian girl. You want to marry a Christian boy who has a thriving, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and they're going to challenge you to be a better Christian. You don't settle for second best. Settling for second best often means for strife in the home. No, you marry Christians, you date Christians. You date somebody who's going to wash you with the Word as well as you being able to help them in their growth and the maturity in Christ. You don't missionary date. You don't date with the idea that I'm going to change this person. Oh, sure, they might not be a Christian now, but they're a pretty decent person and I'm going to change them. No, first of all, you can't change them. Only Christ can change them. And most of the time, they don't change. They wind up pulling you down as they go down. But this is what it means, men. This is how we are to live biblically with our wives. We are to love them unconditionally, love them no matter what. And we are to honor them. We are to honor them, seeing them as a gift from God, a joint heir of the grace of everlasting life. And we are to live with them, dwell with them, seek to be in the home with them, and quite regularly, in an understanding way, seeking to learn them and know them. Men, is this how you're living with your wife? Is this how I'm living with my wife? If not, I pray that we will seek God's forgiveness and that we will seek to call upon Him for His grace to do so. I challenge you this morning. Like I said, I don't have this all together. I am a work in progress. I haven't been married very long, but I am a work in progress. It's something that God keeps working with me in regard to. And He's done a bang-up job. It's been quite painful at times. But I am so thankful. I am so thankful for the lessons learned. So I don't have this all together. And no Christian has everything together. I once heard it said that Christians are people that you should wear a hard hat around because God's still working on them. And that's so true. That's all of us. But I pray that in a culture in which we are being asked to throw this out the window, throw out God's design and God's instruction out the window and just go whatever way we want to go and do whatever we want to do. I pray that we, if we desire to be God's people and Christian people, we would submit ourselves to this word. And ladies, I know you may be thinking, well, I'm so glad you told my husband all this stuff. Well, Father's Day is coming up. But I look at my responsibility as a husband. And I'm not trying to downplay the role of a woman in the home. But I look at my responsibility as a husband to be a serious one. In the home, the buck stops with me. I set the spiritual tone in my home. I point my home in the direction of Christ. That's my job. When things go wrong, the buck stops with me. I've missed something somewhere. I've neglected something somewhere. You got to remember, whenever Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God came into the garden. Who did He come looking for? Adam, where are you? Men, we have a great responsibility. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. There's so much there. There is so much responsibility there. May we never neglect our responsibility, and may we never ignore it, or simply for the sake of convenience, forsake it. May we be Christian husbands in the home. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this challenge to myself as well as to these other brothers in this congregation along with me. Lord, I know that this is a very critical subject matter. For the condition of much of our youth in the world today is the result of fathers, absentee fathers, fatherlessness, fathers who may be in the home, but they're not really in the home. They're just physically present. So Lord, I pray that each of us as men, we will take this word to heart. We will seek to apply it to our lives. We'll seek to work it out in our homes so that when people look upon our home, look at our family, they will know something of Your love for Your church. They will know something of the attractive, beautiful, glorious love that You have for Your people. And Lord, may our homes be an evangelistic means by which You draw men and women and boys and girls into Yourself. Lord, as youth pass through our home, if we have children and they have friends and they come over to our house, may they see something of the love of Jesus in the way that husbands and wives interact with one another, in the way that children are treated by their parents. Lord, I pray that our desire in this world would be to do nothing more, nothing less than to point people to You. Lord, help us to do that this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.